Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Hope everybody is doing well. Welcome to our August 24th edition of the 5 series. We are now on episode 5, I believe, actually, in this series, alhamdulillah. And so far we have talked a lot about the virtues of God, the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, hopefully somewhat helping and deepening our understanding of our creator Allah ta'ala himself, learning about his names and his attributes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's oneness. One thing that I actually realized today as I was going over my own research and my own notes about today's topic is that one of the things that we should have actually discussed last week was the beauty of Surah Al-Ikhlas, because Surah Al-Ikhlas has literally everything to do with Allah Ta'ala's oneness, right? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. And you know, one of the things that I want to kind of mention as like a review almost from last week is that that last ayah, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ, is written in a really interesting Arabic grammatical form where it looks like it's almost backwards. Like the translation of وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ actually means and equal to him is no one. And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it that way in the Quran was because he wanted to emphasize that there is nothing like him, right? Anyone. There's no one like him in the Quran, no one like him in existence, right? And he emphasizes that in his own book by saying وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. And so today, what are we going to be talking about, inshallah? So we've talked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah comprises of one half of the entire testimony of faith that we take as Muslims, right? When we say ashadu an la ilaha illallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first thing. The entire backbone of the Islamic faith is the idea, the belief that Allah is one. You cannot be a Muslim unless you have full conviction, yaqeen, that Allah Ta'ala is one. He doesn't need anybody else. He is the sole sustainer. He is as-samad, the one who provides and does not need providing for himself. And he is completely and ultimately, you know, just absolutely unique in all of his attributes and characteristics. And there is nobody like him. And so that was the idea of La ilaha illallah. So today, let us go ahead and continue on to our second half of the testimony of faith. What is the second half of the testimony of faith, everybody? It is Muhammadur Rasulullah. Okay? Muhammadur Rasulullah. That I bear witness. Okay? You say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship other than God himself. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And I also bear witness, in addition to my bearing witness of God being one, I bear witness that Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib, is the messenger of God and his final prophet. And this is the second half of our testimony of faith. So the question I beg to ask in the beginning of our conversation today is, what is your fondest memory of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So I want everyone to actually, I will go ahead and like I traditionally do, take the live stream, the Instagram live, and type in, what is your fondest memory of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and why? Okay, so we'll ask this question. So I'll post it, and then I'll pin it myself on here on Instagram, and y'all can reflect on it and answer it yourself, go through it, maybe see exactly how you would reflect on this specific question. So the question is, what is your fondest memory of the Prophet ﷺ and why? Why is that memory so strong for you? A lot of us have different things that we connect to in the Prophet's life. Sometimes we connect to his life in Mecca, the life of persecution, the life of hardship, the life of concealing your faith until it's safe to finally go out with your faith. Some of us relate to him when he was living in Medina, starting a new journey, a new community, getting to know a new city, a new group of people. Some of us relate to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life when it comes to the idea of him being a son, right? He was a son of Abdullah, his father that he never met. He passed away before the Prophet was even born. Or you relate to him as a son because of his mother, Amina, right? He was 6 years old when Amina, you know, she passed away. And then he went into the caretaking of his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. So some of us relate to the Prophet as a grandson, as a nephew, as a son. Some of us relate to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a companion, as a friend. He was the best of all friends, right? So what is the memory of the Prophet, the hadith that you remember? And I want to ask everybody on Facebook and on Instagram Live, what is the memory that you have of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that really sticks out in your memory? Somebody says praying janazah for a pet bird, such compass for children and animals. Very good. Very beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a narration that said that, you know, he stopped his day because he noticed that a little boy had been missing his pet bird who had passed away. And he stopped and he had a conversation with him, and he took care of his emotions. Somebody as busy as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped and paid attention to something as small and trivial as we would think as adults, to a little boy's loss of his pet, right? Somebody else says his relationship with Umm Ayman. Very good. Umm Ayman Baraka, right? His second mom, if you will, right? The woman who was there when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. She was the only person who saw the Prophet from his birth to his death. Can you imagine that? The only person who saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his birth to his death. That was Umm Ayman Baraka. Very good. So I want everyone to kind of reflect on this right now as we go through session today, is reflect over your favorite memory of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is that one story about him that really sticks out to you? What is the one memory of him that really plays an impactful role in your life? Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the Messenger of Allah. So we already talked about the fact that the Shahada comprises of two individual statements that come together to perform one thought. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Okay? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Okay? That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the Messenger of God himself, right? There is a famous hadith from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam where he says, none of you have true belief. None of you have true iman. The word iman means faith. None of you have true iman, true belief, until I am more beloved to them than themselves, right? Then I am more beloved to him than himself or herself. Their children, their parents, and all of humanity. That none of you have true faith, the meaning of true faith, until you love me more than you love yourself, your family, and all of humanity. When we first take a look at that statement, when we first take a look at that statement by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we think to ourselves, wow, that is an extremely lofty goal. How can I ever love somebody more than I love myself, more than I love my kids, more than I love my wife, my husband, more than I love my parents? How is that ever possible? And how can that ever be a reality for me? And the answer really is that we don't know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam well enough. We just don't know him well enough. We just don't know the ins and outs of his life. And until you get to learn about the person he was, we truly will not understand the gravity, the immense love and respect that this man warrants from our lives. And if you don't believe me, just listen to this one part of the reality of our faith, is that on the day of judgment, when we are all brought in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And our deeds are going to be brought about in front of us, and we are all going to be nervous, you know, asking Allah, Allahumma hasibna hisaban yasira. Oh Allah, make my accountants an easy accountants, right? Like don't judge me too hard. Be lenient with my judgment. This is actually a famous dua. And on that day, it's said that even, you know, family members, a mother will be trying to steal deeds from her son. A father will be trying to steal deeds from his daughter. A brother will be trying to steal deeds from his sister. A husband will be trying to steal deeds from his wife, because everyone is going to be so scared that day that they want everything for themselves, and they want to be able to enter paradise themselves. They'll only be thinking of themselves. The only person in that entire scenario that will be standing on behalf of us on behalf of you and me, on behalf of, you know, ourselves, is going to be the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He'll be standing there and he'll be making dua. Ya Allah, be merciful upon your servants. Ya Allah, be merciful upon my ummah, my people. And on that day, I will tell you first and foremost, will we ever be more willing or more hopeful that when the Prophet he utters the words my ummah, that our name is called within that category? That when he says, oh Allah, have mercy upon my ummah, we hope, we pray, we make dua that our names are included in that ummah that he's talking about. Because Allah Ta'ala will never deny the dua of the Messenger of Allah himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never deny the dua of his beautiful messenger, right? Think about it. The day in Ta'if that the Prophet went through, he was persecuted, he was thrown stones at, outside the city. And Jibreel alayhi salam comes down to him, and Jibreel alayhi salam himself, he says, Ya Rasulullah, give me the go-ahead, right? Tell me, give me the signal, and I will make the entire city of Ta'if collapse in and of itself, in on itself, and no one will ever remember that a city called Ta'if ever existed. No one ever. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says, no, don't do that. Allah literally was ready to destroy the entire city of Ta'if, but because the Prophet ﷺ said no, he stopped. Because the Prophet ﷺ said no, don't destroy the city of Ta'if, because even if these people don't believe, people after them may believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved that city, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam requested it. So imagine when the Prophet comes on behalf of us, he intercedes on behalf of you and me, when nobody else on that day will. Imagine how much love this man has for us, people he has never met in his life, that he will intercede for us on the day of judgment. Imagine that, right? And so we have to get to know this Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a little bit better. What is the role of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is the role of a messenger? What are they supposed to do? What is a messenger of God supposed to do? And by the way, you'll hear this question several times, right? And this is something that is very, very special to Islam, is that we believe in the oneness of God and we believe in the prophecy of his prophets. We believe that Allah sent human examples upon this earth to teach, to guide, to be examples of humanity for the other people that walk upon this earth. And this is something that's very special to Islam, that Islam really preaches the idea of prophethood. That if it wasn't for the prophets, how difficult would your religion really be? And I want to actually ask that question to everybody on this live stream right now. Imagine, just for a second, imagine, what would our religion be like if we didn't have the prophet? If you only had the Quran? How many questions would you have? How many unclear, situations would you have in your life? But because you heard that one hadith, oh, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that, or Aisha radiallahu anha narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that, it provides a lot of clarity about our faith and our beliefs, right? So there was a beautiful ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 129, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْهُمْ, that, and our Lord raised in their midst a messenger from among them. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the proofs of prophethood is that Allah raised people from their own communities, right? Whether you talk about Ibrahim, whether you talk about Isa, Musa, Harun, Yunus, Yusuf, Dawood, Sulaiman, Idris, Nuh, all these different prophets, the messenger of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Muhammad ibn Abdullah, he raised these people from their own people. Allah didn't just pick somebody random from the other side of the globe and put them in Mecca. Allah did not pick somebody from Antarctica and put him in, Jerusalem. That's not the way Allah did it. Allah picked people from their own communities. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was from his community. Prophet Isa was from his community. Prophet Yunus was from his community. All these people, these prophets, you would describe them as minhum, right? Minhum, meaning from them, amongst them. Min anfusikum, from amongst yourselves. That's what you would describe them as. And Allah continues, he says, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمْ, okay? That he teaches that who would recite to them your verses, okay? يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ, that Ya Allah, these messengers will recite your verses to the people. that these messengers will reiterate a book that has already been revealed, or they will come with a new book. That is the role of a messenger, primarily, that they will come to teach the role of this text in their lives. So when you see the Quran, understand that the Quran was the prophet's life. The Quran was the prophet's life. So when it was time for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pass away, a lot of the companions, they actually used to describe, y'all, they used to describe that we felt as though our connection to God had been lost. Why? Because forever, however long the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive, the 63 years of life that he lived on this earth, the companions around him, the community that were with him, they felt that they had an immediate connection to God. And once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, they felt like they had lost that divine connection with Allah. So you can tell from that just genuine statement that the book, the text, was one of the major roles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the prophets that came before him. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمْ Okay, يُعَلِّمُهُمْ كِتَابًا And to teach them the book and وَالْحِكْمَةَ And wisdom. So the role of a messenger is not only to teach the book, it's to recite to them the book, to teach them, يُعَلِّمُهُمْ Right? As Allah says, الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ And you teach them wisdom. That Islam is not only about books and tests and exams and prayer. Islam is all about hikmah. Islam is also about wisdom. What do you do with the book that's been given to you? What do you do with the Quran that has been revealed to you? You also have to understand the wisdom within this book of Allah, right? It's not only about the Quran, it's about the wisdom that comes along with it, right? How many of us, to be very honest with everybody, let's be very candid for a second. How many of us have met people in our lives who have memorized the Quran? They have completely done their hifz of the Quran. They have memorized it cover to cover, word by word, surah by surah. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem as though the wisdom has sunk into them. They memorize all the words. Alif Lam Mim. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ They memorize all these words. They memorize surah, they memorize Juz Amma, Juz Tabarak, all these different, you know, sections of the Quran. But the hikmah, the wisdom is missing. And that was a primary job of the prophets. It's not just to recite the Quran, not just to teach the book of Allah, but to use wisdom while you do it. Because if wisdom is not used, no hearts will be affected. You can be the smartest person in the world, but if you don't have wisdom, nobody will turn to you. When you speak words, the words will reach the ears, but the words will not reach the hearts. If you don't have wisdom, your statements, your verbal communication will hit the ears, but the impact will not hit the heart of the believers. It will not hit the heart of anybody, as a matter of fact. So a role of the messenger is not only to, you know, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمْ الْكِتَابَ But also, وَالْحِكْمَةِ To use wisdom, okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He says, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ And to purify them. To purify them. Now, what does that mean? Purification can come through several different aspects. Purification can literally mean to teach them how to live a pure life, to teach them how to be clean, to teach them how to be a person who takes care of themselves. But yuzakkihim can also mean how to cleanse the heart, how to rid the heart of disease. And I'm not just talking about physical ailments, I'm talking about spiritual disease, arrogance, ignorance, hatred, anger, jealousy, backbiting, right? All these different pieces of spiritual disease, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuzakkihim, to purify them, to purify your people. Don't just teach them, don't just recite to them, be wise with them and help them purify themselves inside and out. Which is the beautiful thing about Islam, by the way, is that Islam teaches that, you know, purity, cleanliness is half of your faith. Not just cleanliness of the body, but cleanliness of the spirit, cleanliness of the soul, It's half of our lives. We have to purify ourselves. Innaka antal azizul hakim. Indeed, you alone are the Almighty, the All-Wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about himself at the end of that verse. What are some other verses about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah says in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. He says, verily, right? لَقَدْ. لَقَدْ is almost like an emphasis on top of an exclamation mark. لَقَدْ. It's not only an inna, or it's not only a qad, it's a laqad. Okay, it's like an emphatic statement. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That verily, in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verily in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, uswatun hasana. We've given you a beautiful pattern, a beautiful pattern, a beautiful layout, a beautiful blueprint of an example. And you know what? Another kind of really interesting aspect of this ayah is that when Allah says uswatun hasana, He doesn't just say a one-time thing. You know, some of us are one-hit wonders. We do one thing that's really awesome, and then the rest of our lives we struggle. Or we do one thing that's really good, and the rest of our time we really, really struggle with ourselves, right? But in order to have uswatun hasana, it means you have to have a pattern of lifestyle. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not just a person who got up and gave an awesome khutbah one day, and people were like retweeting it and putting it on their Facebook, you know, posts and Instagram stories and talking about it and putting it up on their TikToks and blah, blah, blah. And, oh my God, did you hear the Prophet say that? It was amazing. It hit me so deep. It was awesome. No, no, no. That's not who the Prophet was. The Prophet was a person who was over and over and over again, a person who showed pattern. It was consistent. It was something that was constant. Islam sometimes is easy to be a good Muslim one day. But try being a good Muslim for an entire week. Try being a good person for an entire month. Try being a good person for an entire year. Those are the difficult moments of life. When you gotta be that for a long period of time, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Prophet was an example of that. For who? Who's the Prophet an example of that for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. He says that, for those of you who put your hopes in Allah, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ, you put your hopes in God. That whenever you make a decision, you put your hope in Allah when you make that decision. Your final resting place, you've accepted it, is with Allah. So the Prophet is an example, is an exemplary person for those who put their hopes in Allah, just like he did. Okay, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ, and they put their hopes on the last day. They put their hopes on the last day. That they believe that Yawm al-Qiyamah is the day that I'm ultimately working for. All of everything that we go through in our lives, the money that I make, the friends that I have, the job that I work in, the family that I create, the family that I build myself, these are all just testaments when I finally meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that final day, Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that day is where I will tell Allah, Ya Allah, I did all of this for you. I did all of this to gain your pleasure, Ya Allah. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And for those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَثِيرًا. Allah says كَثِيرًا. The word كَثِيرًا in Arabic means constantly, a lot, greatly, all the time, for people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly. What's another example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What's another thing that he's supposed to do? لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ الرَّعُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Verily, there has come to you a prophet from amongst you. مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. He's your people, right? He's a human being like you. He's not an angel. He's not a tree. He's not like another organism. أَنفُسِكُمْ, man. He's from you. His heart beats, his heart pumps blood, he breathes in oxygen, he emits carbon dioxide, he thinks, he feels, he eats, he sleeps, he marries, he has children. He's just like you, min anfusikum. You can relate to him easily because a lot of the human things that you go through are things that he went through himself, min anfusikum. Allah says, azizun alayhi ma anittum. Grievous to him is what makes you suffer. When you're hurting, he's hurting. So the role of a prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to feel for their people. The prophets are not just people who just come and deliver a message and leave. The prophets of God are people who come to their people and they feel for them. When they go through something bad, they feel pain for their people. When their people deny Allah, they get extremely sad, right? And think about this, guys. When you really care for somebody, you want the best for them, right? And this is why, by the way, when most young people, teens, college students, you name it, whoever it is being young, you know, your parents tell you something and you disagree with it and you don't want to do what they're telling you to do, and it annoys you because you see how affected it that they are by it, they're not doing it because they want to make your life miserable. But it's actually that sincerely it pains them whenever you go through pain. Your parents tell you not to go hang out with that person because they don't trust them. And then when your trust gets broken, who's even more hurt than you are for yourself is your parents. How could that person treat my daughter like that? How could somebody treat my son like that? How can somebody break the trust of my kids like that? What hurts more is your parent, more than for yourself. SubhanAllah. And this is the role of the messengers, that they felt for their people. When their people kept denying them, when their people kept mocking them, when their people kept hurting them, these are the messengers that felt pain in their hearts for their people. They wanted their people to achieve salvation. They wanted their ummah to reach paradise with them, right? And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amongst all the prophets, felt the most for his people. He was azizun alayhi ma anitum, harisun alaykum bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim, Allah says. And he is concerned over you, and to the believers he is kind and merciful. This is the role of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and other messengers, we understand that their role was to teach, right? To recite the verses first and foremost, to recite the verses, to recite to the people the message of the Quran. Number two is to teach, يُعَلِّمُهُمْ, right? To teach them, to guide them, to help them understand the text of the Quran and the text of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, to teach with wisdom, right? To teach with wisdom, with hikmah. And then yuzakihim, to purify their hearts, to cleanse people's hearts that were disease-ridden. People who are going through so many diseases in their life spiritually, the prophets came to aid those diseases, to help remedy those diseases, to come be a vaccine for those diseases. That's why the prophets of Allah came to us, is to help us remedy the difficulties that we're going through in our hearts, right? And then they were merciful to us. Everything that they do is out of mercy. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that you were not sent to be anything except رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, a mercy to mankind. You were supposed to be a mercy for everybody who saw you, O Muhammad. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when you walk down a street, people shouldn't feel afraid. People should feel happy that they're going to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And how many of us, wallahi, how many of us would dream to meet a person that you feel spiritually safe around? That's another big thing about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. People felt safe around him. People felt spiritually safe around the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he walked into a room, people didn't just kind of like, you know, curl up and go into their shells. People came out and they felt happy that he was there. The Prophet's here. I know I'm safe with him. I know that when he's around me, he's going to make me feel like I'm a good person. Even the mistakes that I make, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to encourage me that I can do better. That is the role of a messenger of Allah, and that is the role of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the last things I wanted to kind of share with everybody is that although the prophets of Allah were these amazing people, they were still at the end of the day human beings, right? They were still at the end of the day people who had passed away. Whether you talk about Prophet Musa, whether you talk about Prophet Dawood, whether you talk about Prophet Nuh, whether you talk about Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Prophet Sulaiman, all these different prophets of Allah, ultimately they passed away. And what's the wisdom in that? What's the wisdom in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and all the other prophets of Allah actually being human? Well, in Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, wama Muhammadun illa rasulun qad khalat min qablihi rasulu. That Muhammad is not but a messenger. He is not but a messenger. He's a messenger to you, right? and other messengers have passed away before him. Rusul, okay? Afa in mata aw qutila in qalabtum, right? Ala a'qabikum. And Allah says to the believers, he says, so if he was to pass away, would you turn your back on your heels and not believe in Allah anymore? That the prophets of Allah were sent to do a message. They were sent for a purpose. They were sent to give their people the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to teach with wisdom, teach with kindness, guide with mercy, be sympathetic with their people. But at the end of their lives, when their job was done, it was time for them to leave. That was what their role was. And this was actually when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he passed away, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's most beautiful companion, his father-in-law, his best friend, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he saw the lifeless body of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laying in his daughter's arms. And he went over and he kissed the forehead of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he comes out to the ummah, to the community in Medina, who was just in shock at that moment. They couldn't believe that a person that they knew their entire lives as the Prophet had finally passed away. And they were panicking. There are narrations that say that Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu rushed into his home and he began crying like a baby. Umar ibn al-Khattab was so upset that he would basically threaten to take care of whoever said the Prophet was dead. He was in denial of it. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he gets up in front of everybody and he says, those of you who worship Muhammad, know that Muhammad has passed away. Those of you who worship Muhammad, know that Muhammad is not but a man and he passed away. But those of you who believe in God, know that God cannot die and God will always be here with us. And so ultimately, the job of the Messenger and the Prophets of Allah were to teach their communities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always going to be around forever. And so some of the parting questions that I ask people is, just a few little food for thought before we wrap up our session today, is what roles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam do you relate to the most? What roles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam do you relate to the most? Do you relate to him as a son, a companion, as a father, as a husband, as a friend, as a neighbor? Which role do you connect with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the most? And number two, true or false, is it difficult to lead by example? Have you ever been in a position in your life where you have to lead by example? Have you ever been in a position in your life where there was a lot of responsibility upon your shoulders as a role model, whether you know it or not, whether you wanted it or not, because the prophets of Allah didn't have a choice of being prophets. Prophet Ibrahim didn't go through a job interview. Prophet, Musa did not go through a job interview with Allah where he was like, okay, yeah, Allah, I'll take, $17 an hour for salary with health benefits. And if you can do that for me and put that together, then sure, I'll be a prophet of God. No, man. Allah hand chose these people. Musa, you're a prophet. Yusuf, you're a prophet. Yunus, you're a prophet. Ibrahim, you're a prophet. Isa, you're a prophet of mine. These people didn't have a choice in it. So responsibility was put on their shoulders. So have you ever been in a position where responsibility was put on your shoulders? And was it easy for you? Or was it difficult for you? It's a good question to ask yourself, right? To think and ponder over this week, inshallah. And to conclude, inshallah, there is no disagreement among Muslims as to the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam constitutes the best example of morality, of having good ethics, of having good values, being a person who is very morally upright. We call this a person who has a lot of istiqama, which means steadfastness, a person who was resilient to the hate that he received in his life. He was an example of that. And so one thing that we have to all understand before we leave today is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just because he was a man, between the age of 40 to 63, he was a prophet of Allah, notably. Just because he was a man, he was an Arab, he lived in, Mecca and Medina during his life, does not mean that that is the limitation to his example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an example, not just for men who live in Saudi Arabia, He's not just an example for men between the ages of 40 and 63. He's not just an example for men. He is an example for youth, for elders, for men, for women, for poor, for rich, for fathers, for mothers, for cousins, for companions and neighbors, and any other role that you can think of. This was the perfect human being that served as an example for all of humanity. And that is who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. So inshallah, I leave you guys with a question, because I like leaving people with questions to ponder over until the next time we meet together. And the question is, what would you be missing in your life if you did not know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What would you be missing in your life if you never heard of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Just think about that for a second. Because sometimes absence breeds appreciation. Sometimes when things are abundantly available, we are very forgetful as a group of people. We think that, you know, everything is just there for us. But when those things are taken away, are the moments where we actually find true appreciation in our lives, that we finally realize, man, I should not have taken that for granted. So imagine if you didn't have the Prophet ﷺ in your life, imagine what you'd be missing. Somebody said missing everything. We would be missing everything. We would not understand a thing without the Prophet ﷺ, okay? So inshallah, on Wednesday, what we will be covering is we are going to be covering what is the meaning of sunnah, okay? Does sunnah really matter? Have y'all ever heard that term before? Or that phrase before? Oh, it's just sunnah, right? It's just sunnah, right? Or is sunnah more than just sunnah? Is sunnah something that is extremely deep and meaningful? Or is sunnah just something that you do when you have time? Answer that question, inshallah, on Wednesday. Does anybody have any questions or comments here today? If anybody has any questions or any sort of inquiries or comments, you can easily just kind of use that comment section down below. Or you can ask a question privately through the question card at the bottom of your screen, next to like the paper airplane icon, and you can ask a question, inshallah. But if nobody else has any questions, we will inshallah conclude our session for today. And I'm thoroughly, really, really enjoying doing this series with everybody, the 5 series, alhamdulillah. Inshallah ta'ala, we hope to be doing them in person sometime in the future. But we really love our Roots community for the sake of Allah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward every single one of you guys. And may Allah azza wa jal allow us to come back in person so we can enjoy each other's company, even if it's socially distanced. Our spiritual hearts are close to each other. May Allah reward you guys. Ameen rabbal alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.